This episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast is sponsored by the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. As a woman in the modern world, our hormones are taking a battering. They're impacted by the food we eat, the toxins we're exposed to, such as when we eat out of plastic takeaway containers, or even worse, reheat food in them. Please don't do this. If you're handling FPOS receipts, filling the car with fuel, eating non-organic produce that hasn't been washed effectively, plus so much more things add to our toxic load every day. Even though our bodies are designed to effectively manage toxins, they haven't evolved as quickly as our toxic world has, unfortunately. So our body does need support. Symptoms such as stubborn weight gain, fatigue, disrupted periods, irritability, and gut health issues can be a sign that you'd benefit from a gentle detox. And that's why I developed the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. This free guide has an abundance of information to get you started on your very own DIY detox. And if you'd like to upgrade to VIP, it's only $47 for a limited time. I used to sell this program for $247. The upgrade gives you the recipes, including plenty of plant-based options, the meal planner, the shopping list template, the video workshop, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more now. Take care of your hormones. They are a critical part of your health as a woman. Hi, I'm Susie Garden, and this is the Ageless and Awesome podcast. I'm an age-defying naturopath and clinical nutritionist, and I'm here to bust myths around women's health and aging so that you can be ageless and awesome in your 40s, 50s, and beyond. The Ageless and Awesome podcast is dedicated to helping women through perimenopause and menopause with great health, a positive mindset, and outrageous confidence. Hit subscribe or follow now, and let's get started. Hello, gorgeous one, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast. And today I am following up last week's episode, which was all about skin. I love talking about skin, and that episode really smashed it in terms of listens. So obviously you guys really loved it too, which is great. So thank you so much. Often, you know, with this podcast, I want to see it grow. And often it's when people are sharing the episode. So I would love it if you would screenshot, you know, the when you're listening on like Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen, if you screenshot it and pop it in your stories, that would be awesome. Tell your friends. That is how I grow. And I just love seeing the listenership just growing and growing. It really makes it worthwhile for me because obviously, you know, I don't have external advertisers. I provide this content absolutely free of charge to you guys. And it just makes me feel good if I know that people are enjoying the content and are sharing it. So thank you so much. Clearly that's been happening with last week's episode with the skin. And I'm following up as promised with hair health and perimenopause and menopause, because it is something I have lots of discussions with my clients about, because many of the clients that I'm seeing are noticing the impact of being in their 40s and 50s and beyond on their hair. And again, it's often people are saying to me, you know, I'm not doing anything different, but my hair is weak, it's dry, it's frizzy, it's falling out, I'm getting patches of skin, you know. And obviously, some of these things do need to be investigated, particularly if you're getting bald patches. That can definitely be something called alopecia, or it can be some other thing. So it's worth getting that checked out. Or if you're getting like a rash, particularly in the hairline, that can be sometimes psoriasis. So that's definitely worth getting checked out as well. But what I'm talking about today is more of the hormonal changes and how that impacts your scalp and your hair. So, you know, like I talked about last week with the skin, there are certain changes that happen with the fluctuation of estrogen and also with the drop in progesterone specifically for hair. But, you know, your scalp is skin, and so it's impacted in a very similar way to your skin when we're talking about the hormonal changes. And The thing is, estrogen and progesterone actually affect your hair's growth cycles. It impacts your scalp health, your follicle health, so your hair follicle health, and the natural oils that keep hair smooth and lustrous. Like I talked last week about sebum on the skin. It's the same with the hair. We produce sebum from our scalp, and that impacts how your hair will appear. You want it to appear lustrous and smooth, right? So these natural oils and sebum and things like that is what gives you that appearance. So if we're getting less of that produced, we're going to get that noticeably different look to our hair. Things that people notice is this hair thinning. For me, one of the big things was noticing that around my like temple area and just above my temples, I was noticing a little bit of hairline receding. That can happen. Also, just changes in the texture of the hair. The thing is, genetics can play a part in this. Now, just because you have those genes doesn't mean that's going to be expressed. But if you know that there's that, you see that in your family members, your female family members, that they're really noticing a huge difference in their hair when they're in their 40s and 50s and beyond, then definitely it's even more of a motivation, I guess, to look after your own hair and do some of the things I'm about to tell you about. So let's start with this hair growth cycle. I talked about this. So how is the hair growth cycle? What is actually the hair growth cycle and how is it impacted? Well, we have a few sort of phases, I guess, with our hair. We have a growth phase. We have phases where the hair will regrow. Often if you've ever looked at your hair and you get these little tiny little wispy baby hairs, that's new hair growth. And when we have less estrogen in our system, it actually shortens the growth phase and delays the stage where the hair regrows. Another thing that happens is hair follicles become smaller. Okay, so the hair follicles are those little individual, let's call it a hole. There's individual holes that the hair is coming out of. They become smaller. They call it miniaturization. So these follicles become smaller and therefore the strands of hair that are coming out are finer and you get a decreased density of hair. And I'm sure we've all seen elderly people where you can virtually see right through to their scalp with their hair. And that's because of this hair growth cycle getting impacted. So we've got lots going on in our hair and scalp at this time of life. And there are, okay, actually, before I get into that, there are, you know, to other times in our lives where this may happen. And I'm sure for many of you that have had children, you may have noticed the postpartum hair loss. That is a very similar hormonal picture that's going on then that gets repeated when you're going through perimenopause and menopause. So it's a very similar sort of thing. So you may find that if you did have a fair degree of postpartum hair loss, that you may be more prone to it when you get to perimenopause and menopause. So what are the kind of things you can do about it? If you are impacted relatively significantly, and it's really bothering you, of course, first do speak to your healthcare practitioner just in case there is something else going on. Often hair loss, hair brittleness, frizziness, dryness, often that can be related to hypothyroidism. So it's really important if you are noticing significant hair changes that you get your thyroid tested just in case that's the cause, because we want to be sure. We don't want to just assume that because you're in the age group that it is actually a perimenopause thing. That could very well be your thyroid. That's the cause. So you want to absolutely get that corrected. That's quite serious. And so, you know, that's one thing. The other thing is there's certain foods or supplements you can take, the kind of, nutrients that are really important for hair are zinc, Zinc is a big one. Silica is also super important for hair management, good hair quality and strength. And this will also improve your nails as well. I've taken from time to time a silica supplement. It's generally pretty easy. I usually just get a powdered one and throw it in my smoothie or something like that. But I found when I'm taking that, my nails are amazing. I particularly notice my nails. But yeah, I don't take it all the time. Just every now and again, if I notice my nails are a bit soft or breaking a bit, I'll do that. Those of you that have seen images of me will know that I've got pretty long nails and I've generally got some gel or something on them, and they are my own nails. They're not extensions or anything like that. So I've got pretty good natural nails, and it's because I really watch the health of them and I monitor that, because I know that when you see signs, certain signs in your fingernails, they can be nutrient deficiencies. So I really want to get on top of that. Other nutrients are things like vitamin A, vitamin C, your B vitamins, particularly folic acid and biotin. And you'll notice if you have any sort of hair supplement in the cupboard, if you go and have a look at it, it will definitely have biotin in it, and usually silica and usually zinc. But those would be the main ones that you can get either in a supplement form or go for food. And rather than me listing out all the foods, seriously, just go online and Google zinc foods or silica foods, and you will get a list of them. I did promise last week that I would talk about specifically the things that I do for my hair health, because again, if you've seen images of me, I have very long hair. My hair is the longest it's ever been in my entire life, and I am loving it. And as a woman in my 50s, you know, many people might say, well, when you get to a certain age, you can't have long hair. Well, they can get stuffed, because I really like having long hair, and it's really thick. It's in really good condition. Every time I go to my hairdresser, she's just like in awe of the condition of my hair. She very rarely needs to take very much off it for split ends or anything like that. And it's because of a lot of the habits and the trial and error that I've gone through over the years, looking at how to keep my hair healthy. And so here are some of my top tips. Number one, and this is, of course, amazing for your skin on your face as well, is having a silk pillowcase. The transformation in my hair from just changing to a silk pillowcase on its own was, which I did a few years ago, was unreal. Cannot recommend this highly enough, to switch to a silk pillowcase. You can get them. They're not super expensive and they last ages and ages. And oh my gosh, they are amazing. And then I did probably last year, I think, I added to that wearing a silk turban. Actually, before I did that, I started wearing my hair in a scrunchie, mainly because it was getting kind of caught around my back and it was annoying me. So I put my hair up in a scrunchie, and that I actually quite found that useful. But then I heard about these silk turbans, so I thought I'll try one of those. That's an absolute game changer. I brush my hair at night. I pop it straight in my turban. I'll often like twirl it around a little bit and stick it in there. And in the morning, I take it off and my hair falls out like it's been straightened. Seriously, there is no frizz. It's completely smooth. If I've done it in a little twirl, then it'll have a little wave in it. If I haven't, then it'll just be dead straight. And seriously, I don't even need to brush my hair in the morning, because it is just so slick from wearing the turban. So that, my friends, is probably the biggest game changer I've ever had for my hair. Other things is always, always use natural products that get as low chemical as you can in your products, whether that's your shampoo and conditioner or your styling products. When you're putting in your products, always give your head a really lovely massage. It's fabulous self-care, but it's also going to really improve the circulation to your follicles. It's going to relax the muscles, which is really good for just that general stress management, improves your gut-brain connection, so many benefits from giving yourself a head massage when you're using your product. So I always do that. If you are in a tropical place like I am, if you're swimming, whether you're in chlorine, whether you're in salt, sea salt, that is, absolutely, as soon as you get out of that water, rinse your hair. That is my non-negotiable. As soon as I get out of the water at the beach, I'm straight up to the showers on the beach, rinse out my hair, go back to the towel and sit there for a little bit. And if I'm going to be down at the beach for a little bit, I'll also always have a little travel size of conditioner, and I'll throw conditioner through my hair immediately and just pop it up in a bun so that it's just sitting there moisturizing. That makes a huge difference as well. Really reduce your use of heat tools wherever you can. That's where, again, the silk turban has been a game changer, because it really keeps my hair so smooth and I really don't feel the need to use any heat tools. I very rarely do that. Allow your hair to dry naturally when you can. I know it can be difficult. I know this summer was so hot that I just couldn't bear blow drying my hair. And I actually felt that that improved the condition of it, just not blow drying it, just allowing it to air dry all the time. And again, normally I can't do that because it'll just be a nightmare to manage the next day or even that day. But because I know I'm going to wear my turban at night, it keeps my hair. I wake up the next morning and it's literally like I've been to a salon. It's just so beautiful. I cannot talk highly enough about the turban. Oh my God. What else? I generally brush my hair twice a day. And that helps to spread the natural oils down the hair shaft. If you have long hair, don't wear it up all the time. That contributes to hair breakage. I absolutely am loving the return of the scrunchie, because that is a really beautiful, soft way to put your hair up without having that real tension of the elastic, which can contribute to hair breakage. But try not to wear it up all of the time. If you're wearing it up all the time, you may want to consider whether long hair is the right choice for you. I'd also say get regular trims. Like, I'm actually not going to the hairdresser that often anymore. When I was in corporate, I was going about every 5 weeks. I was obsessed with my color, and I'm way more relaxed about it these days. I think it, you hear it all the time. Once you turn 50, you just don't give a rat's about so many things, and I'm the same. I don't really care that much about my regrowth anymore. So I'm probably only going to the hairdresser these days 4 or 5 times a year. And I think that helps a lot too, not having because I color my hair. They are vegan and natural coloring and no-tox colors that I use. And I do think that makes a difference as well. But also just not getting it done so often helps dramatically as well. Keeping hydrated is also super important, and also making sure you're getting enough healthy fats. So avocado, flaxseed oil would be my absolute go-tos. I have flaxseed oil every single day, and you can use that. You can't cook with it, but you can use it in salads. You can pop it in yogurt. You can pop it in oats if the oats are cool. You can pop it in a smoothie. Like, so many things you can do with it. And it's quite fine. It doesn't really taste like anything. So that would be my two go-tos in terms of healthy fats for hair. And I think I'm pretty much at about it. It seems like a lot when I've really looked there and listed all out, but it's actually pretty quick. Like, there's not, I'm a pretty low maintenance person, and I only wash my hair twice a week, if that. And yeah, I've managed to get this beautiful, long, thick, lustrous hair. And I'm just looking at it now, like, I'm due for a haircut now, and I've got barely any split ends at all. And when you consider how long my hair is below my bra strap now, it's well below, like, I'm just feeling it now. It is a good, gosh, I think it's about 10 centimeters below my bra strap. So that's a lot. very long. So I hope that's been helpful and a bit of fun. Please do send in any questions you have about hair care from a naturopathic or a nutritional point of view. Love talking about this stuff, and I know women love talking about it too. As I said before, please feel free to screenshot and share. Tag me. I love it. And yeah, let's get the word out about the Ageless and Awesome podcast. I'll be back on Thursday with Q&A. Have a beautiful week so far. Have a beautiful rest of the week till I see you next. Okay, bye. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Ageless and Awesome podcast. If you liked today's episode, make sure you click the little plus button if you're on Apple Podcasts, or the follow button if you're on Spotify, so that you get each new episode delivered to you every single week. If you like free stuff, then head to the show notes and click the link to receive my free Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for perimenopausal women. Or if you'd like to continue the discussion, head over to Instagram and DM me at Susie Garden Wellness. I'd love to connect with you.